Good morning. God Himself is with us. Come, let us adore Him. We welcome every worshiper today on this Trinity Sunday. May the Holy Spirit fill your hearts to praise the Lord. Praise to the Father. Praise to the Son. Praise to the Holy Spirit. God, 3 in 1.
All right, John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Probably one that we all have memorized. But verse 17 that follows says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This first song is one of the newer ones that is based right off of that, verse that we all grew up. One of the first ones we memorized. It's called "For God So Loved." So, if you'll join us in standing now as we sing "For God So Loved." Come all you weary, come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners, come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table, he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for. For God so loved, for God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. Bring all your failures. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms. For God so loved, for God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell, the power of hell, forever defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved, God so loved the world. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, for the wonders of his love. Sing that again. Praise God, praise God, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, praise him for the wonders of his love. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell, the power of hell, forever defeated, now it is well. I'm walking in freedom, for God so loved the world. Bring all your failures. Bring all your failures, bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world. In the darkness. In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, to a throne of endless glory, to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit in one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
Despise of God, even in your suffering, you saw to the other side, knowing this was our salvation, Jesus for our Savior died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, bring one. God of glory, majesty, praise forever to the King of Kings.
In the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who'd come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not kneel, shall not fade. By His blood and in His name, in His freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, sworn by the ones he came to save. Still on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I lay. There in the ground, there in the ground, his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18 says this: for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Amen. You may be seated.
Our children, Logan and Leandra, are leaving for Guatemala with the Covenant Brethren Church, and they will be leaving very early on Saturday morning. I think their plane flies out at 4:10 a.m., so we want to commission them this morning to send them on their trip to Guatemala. One of the projects that the Covenant Brethren Church will be doing in Guatemala is putting together stoves for people in the community. And so people in need will receive those stoves. They will also be giving out food is another project. And what I love about our denomination is that through every single project that is done, they will proclaim the name of Jesus. The focus is on sharing Jesus Christ with the people in the community. That's the backdrop for every project that is done through our denomination. And so today, we're going to commission and send out Logan and Leandra on their trip to Guatemala. There's, I think, a little over 20 folks that are going, young people, as well as older folks to chaperone and to go with them. So let's join in prayer together. What I want to ask you to do is to take hands with somebody near you, if you would. And this is a symbol, again, we've done this before, of the presence of God, the touch of God in our lives. And as we commission and send out Logan and Leandra to Guatemala, let's join hands together and ask for God's blessing on them. Let's stand up, please. And let's lift Logan and Leandra and this whole trip to Guatemala. Let's lift it in prayer. Would you pray with me today? Father, I just thank you for your touch on our lives. And Father, today we ask for your touch to be on Logan and Leandra as they leave for Guatemala this coming Saturday very early in the morning. Father, I pray that you would give them safety in travel, that you would guide everything that they do in the travel process, Father, that you would place your hand on that. And God, I pray right now that you would use Logan and Leandra in a mighty way as they serve you. And Father, I pray that lives would be touched. I pray that hearts would be touched for you in Guatemala. And I pray, Lord, that people in Guatemala will see Jesus in the group that goes. And I pray that people in Guatemala will see Jesus in the lives of Leandra and Logan as they serve you. Father, I pray that Logan and Leandra will grow closer to you as a result of this trip to Guatemala. And Father, we place them in your hands and we send them forth to be a beacon of light for you in a dark world. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray, and together all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated.
We are now going to be blessed with special music.
Good morning. Excited to be sharing with you this morning a classic praise song with one of my favorite hymns. It's a beautiful, beautiful arrangement. But one of the things is we're going to be learning about God's Word that I want to bring out is that during the verse, it says, heaven and earth will fade, but His Word will still remain. And amidst all the chaos in the world and all the things going on in our lives personally, we can turn to God and we can turn to His Word and we can find hope in it. And as the song says, God will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way by a roadway in the wilderness. He'll lead me, and rivers in the desert I will see. Heaven and earth will fade, but His word will still remain. He will do something new today. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a way. He will make a way. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. Oh, words with heavenly comfort fraught. Where'er I go, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me. He leadeth me by His own hand. He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. For by His hand He leadeth me. He will make a way.
Another song straight from Scripture. John 15 talks about Jesus being the vine and us being the branches. Sorry. My string broke this morning when I was practicing. I had to put a new one on. And it's not cooperating, that one string.
Remain in me. apart from me, you can do nothing. Remain in me. Remain in me. Remain in me. 'Cause apart from me, you can do
Giving is an act of worship. It is one way to show God that we put Him first and that we trust Him. It is a way to give thanks to the one who blesses us abundantly, providing for our needs spiritually and physically. As we now give of our tithes and offerings, let this be a spiritual opportunity to express love, reflect on Christ's sacrifice, and participate in God's work in the world. Will the ushers please come forward?
Speak, O Lord, as we come to you, to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ might be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord, full obedience, holy reverence through humility. Take our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. Cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail, let their truth prevail over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity. Time by grace will stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory.
We now come to our time of scripture reading. If you'd like to follow along in the pew Bibles, I'm going to be reading from Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. And then Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And now we will turn it over to Pastor Galen for the morning message.
Denny, I'm going to ask a favor of you this morning. If you have, teach the truth. If you have those words, teach the truth. Could you put those on the screen? Because we have been focusing on our vision statement as a part of a sermon series. And a part of our vision statement says that we will be a church that teaches the truth. And so we want to make that our focus. And we've been focusing on what that means to teach the truth. Before we get into the meat of the sermon, I would like to ask you, and you may not be expecting this question, but here's the question. What is your favorite food? Now, Pastor might make you a little bit hungry this morning, but I want to know what you would say is your favorite food. And what you could do is just somebody shout it out to me. All right, some people very much love meatloaf. Anybody else? Yes? Ice cream, what else? Lasagna? Pizza. I thought maybe I'd get a pizza out of the front row. And I got pizza. Chocolate cake with a glass of milk, says Ed Wanger in the back. Corn on the cob when you drive into Shippensburg. What does it say? It says the last Saturday in August is the corn festival where we can eat what Carol just said. Corn on the cob. Now, I know we could keep going, right? Because we got a lot of favorite foods. Our family loves to grill, and so we love hot dogs and hamburgers. And so we could go forever talking about our favorite food. If you Google foods that are most nourishing, some of our favorites might not come up. Let me give you a couple that if you Googled most nourishing foods, here's what comes up. One of them is sardines. Would you raise your hand if you love sardines? Let's see if the Butch. My pizza crowd did not raise their hand for sardines. Another food that comes up if you Google most nourishing foods is chickpeas. Now, if you're not familiar with chickpeas, if you eat hummus, chickpeas is a base for hummus. And I see people shaking their heads. That's not for me. Sometimes the most nourishing foods aren't our favorites. But they're still nourishing. They nourish our bodies. And what I want us to think about today is that food provides that physical nourishment that we need. And God's Word for us brings the spiritual nourishment that we need for our lives. In the scriptures that were read this morning, the first one was Jeremiah 15:16. And in that particular scripture, it says the prophet Jeremiah eats God's Word. Now, he's not really eating when we think about eating God's Word. He's not really physically eating the Word. What Jeremiah is talking about there is that Jeremiah is putting God's Word down in his heart. He is digesting it spiritually so that he will be spiritually nourished. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus says in the scripture that was read this morning that we receive nourishment from every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's where we get spiritual nourishment, and it's from the Word of God. Listen to me today. God wants us to be nourished by His Word. And this morning, I want us to think about what we must do if we're going to be spiritually nourished by God's Word. Now, you will see in your bulletin that there's an outline, and you are welcome this morning, if you're inclined to do so, you are welcome to fill out this outline as we receive this morning's message. Or you can listen. Either one, but I want you to know there is an outline in your bulletin, and you can fill that outline out as we listen to the message this morning. In order to get spiritual nourishment from God's Word, the first thing that we must do is put God's Word into our minds. That's the first thing that has to happen. If we're going to be nourished by God's Word, we must first put the Word of God into our minds. And to put God's Word in our minds means that we read it, but we do more than we read it. We think about what it means. Now, I've been in school, and there have been times in my life when the teacher would ask us to read, and I remember sitting there reading one sentence over and over again and not knowing what in the world it meant. Ever been there before? Where you just are going through something, you're reading the newspaper, and your mind is on something else, and so you read a sentence, but you have no idea what it means. If we're going to be spiritually nourished by the Word of God, we first have to put it into our minds. We think about what it means. This year at our vacation Bible school, our children are going to put God's Word in their minds, and I love this. Hopefully, they will memorize the focus verse for our entire vacation Bible school. And here it is, Philippians 4:13. I love this verse. I can do all things through Him, through Christ, who strengthens me. And I love the fact that at our vacation Bible school this year, our children will be putting God's Word into their minds. Because it's so important that we know God's Word, and so important that we put God's Word into our minds, because it's the first step in being spiritually nourished, is putting God's Word into our minds. But there's something else we must do if we're going to get nourishment from God's Word. The second thing that we need to do is to get spiritual nourishment from God's Word. We must let God's Word sink down from our minds into our hearts. So if we're going to be spiritually nourished by the Word of God, it has to go from our minds down into our hearts. It's important that God's Word affects our intentions. It affects our desires. It goes down into us where we think about it, and then we think, how does this relate to me? This is the internalizing step. This is the step where we say to God, as I read this particular passage of Scripture, what does this mean for me? What is God calling me to do in my life as I read this particular passage of Scripture? Let me give you an example of this. When we read God's Word, we see that God's Word calls us to forgive people who hurt us. And we see that in His Word in different places. We see the call to forgive folks that hurt us. So we would see that particular passage, and then to sink it into our hearts, it would lead us to think about some of the people we might need to forgive. And when we begin to think about our need to forgive somebody else, after we read this passage of Scripture, the Bible is then sinking down into our hearts. It's becoming personal. It's not just what it means. It's what it means to me. And it leads us. It leads us to think about our intentions. It leads us to think about our desires. And we begin to grow spiritually. We begin to go that next level to get that nourishment into our hearts. It's that next level of spiritual nourishment is to let God's Word sink down into our hearts. You may not know the name Nikita Khrushchev, but Nikita Khrushchev was the Soviet leader back in the 1950s and 60s. And if you know about Nikita Khrushchev, you may know that he was a very smart man. He was a man who memorized large parts of the Bible. And he could quote entire sections of Scripture to people who he would talk to. He knew God's Word in his mind. But even though Nikita Khrushchev knew lots of the Bible, Nikita Khrushchev was not nourished spiritually. He was a hard-nosed atheist. And Nikita Khrushchev, even though he knew lots of Scripture, he never put God's Word in his heart. He never received Jesus into his life. And so he only took that first step. That step where God's Word entered his mind, but he wouldn't allow God's Word to sink down into his heart. And the message for us today is if we're going to be spiritually nourished by God's Word, if we're going to grow to be the people that God wants us to be, we must let God's Word sink down from our minds down into our hearts, where it can change our desires through the Holy Spirit, where it can change our intentions, where it can change from what we want to what God wants. And so in order to be spiritually nourished from God's Word, we must let God's Word sink down into our hearts. But finally, I want us to see something today. The final part of your outline, if we're going to be nourished from God's Word, we must let God's Word sink down into our lives. So there's three places that God's Word needs to go if we're going to be spiritually nourished. It needs to go into our minds. Secondly, it needs to sink down into our hearts. And thirdly, we must let God's Word sink down from our minds to our hearts. And finally, it's got to sink down into our lives. This is the application step. This is when we apply God's Word to our actions. This is when we actually live it out. We know what it means. We discovered what it means to us. And now we're going that last final step to spiritual nourishment. We're living it. We're obeying it. In Luke chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says these words. He says, "Blessed are the ones who hear the word of God and obey it." Because Jesus says we're blessed if God's Word leads us to obedience. That's when the blessing comes. It's not when it's just in our minds. It's not even in our intentions. But Jesus says the blessing comes when we live it out. When we obey what God's Word says to us, then we are truly and completely being spiritually nourished by God's Word. And let me give you an example of that. We talked about forgiving someone who hurt us. And after we read in God's word about how God wants us to forgive the person who hurts us, then we go that second step. We know that we need to forgive this person because there are people in our lives who need our forgiveness. It's sinking down into our hearts. But the final step here is we do it. We go and we forgive someone who has hurt us. And that is allowing the Word of God to sink down into our lives. It goes down into our actions. And when the Word of God sinks down into our actions, we can be completely spiritually nourished. Because we've allowed God's Word to go from our minds, we've allowed God's Word to go into our hearts, and then we allow God's Word to go into our living. And when we do those things, we can become spiritually nourished. And we can grow to be the people that God desires us to be. You see, if we just read God's Word and know what it means, we're just spinning our wheels. It's kind of like being on that exercise bike. Ever been there? You're in your living room and you're pedaling, but you're going nowhere. You can't get from Shippensburg to Chambersburg on a stationary bike, people. Am I right? And in the same way, we can't get anywhere if we just put God's Word in our minds, if we memorize tons of Scripture, and we can quote Scripture and verse to the people around us. We're not going to get anywhere. If we go the next step and put it in our hearts, we're starting to chew on the Word and get our desires changed through the Holy Spirit. But when we get to that third part where we live it out, we get the most spiritual nourishment from God's Word. We get completely spiritually nourished when we can live that word out in our daily lives. Now you could say to me today, Pastor, I have lots of favorite foods. And I would say to you in return, so do I. And I can give you a list of my favorite foods. And all of us get physical nourishment from those foods that we love. Some foods we get more nourishment than others. But we are physically nourished by physical food. And here's what happens. When we eat that food, we grow stronger. We get healthier. The type of food we eat is healthy. And we grow. And in the same way, when we get spiritual nourishment from God's Word, we grow spiritually. And we grow to be the people that God desires us to be when we get that spiritual nourishment from God's Word. So here's the question for us today. How much are we being spiritually nourished from the Word of God? In your devotional time, are you simply just reading the Word? Are you reading to check it off a list? To get it done for the day? Because if you're just doing that, you're not going far enough to be spiritually nourished. When you do your devotions, do you think about what this passage means for me? What does God want me to do in this particular passage? Because if you're doing that, you're getting more nourishment than you would if you just read it and put it in your mind. When you read your devotions, are you going that final step? Are you living it? Are you doing your best with God's help to live the Word of God in your daily life? How much spiritual nourishment are we receiving from God's Word? And here's the good news. If you're not getting as much out of your time with the Lord in His Word, you can start afresh today. Amen. If you're not getting as much from the reading of God's Word, you're not getting as much nourishment, you can start afresh and you can do it a different way. When we go to God's Word, let's read it and let's first put it in our minds. And then let's allow that Word to go down deep into our hearts. And then let's take that final step and let's live it out in our daily lives. Because when we do those things, we will grow to be the people that God has desired us to be. We will be spiritually nourished. Praise God today for the spiritual nourishment that is found in His Word. And together, all of God's people said, Amen. You're going to need to put your finger in two places today. In the first place is turn your eyes upon Jesus. And then after we turn our eyes on Jesus, we're going to ask Him to fill our cups, Lord. And we're going to sing a couple of those hymns. We're going to sing the first one twice and the second one twice. And it is our prayer that as we sing these songs that we would sing with a desire for the Lord to fill us, for Jesus to fill us. And so, as you sing this song today, I want to invite you to allow the Lord to fill you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you to come forward this morning and receive Him. Because He is the greatest decision that you will ever make. It doesn't mean your life will be perfect. You could go out of here today and have the most problems you've ever had. But guess what? You have someone who's holding your hand who will help you through every problem that you face. He will see you through. And if you don't know Him today, I want to invite you to come forward this morning and I will pray with you and for you. We'll pray together for you as you make that greatest decision to follow Jesus. What that means is you say to the Lord, I give up my sinful past and I turn my heart, Lord, to You. And I ask You, God, to forgive me. And I commit myself to You. So if you would like to commit yourself to Jesus today, we can do that. We'll pray with you as you make that decision. Perhaps today you're struggling with something in your life and you need the prayers of God's people to help you. You know, we all make mistakes. We'll never be perfect until we reach heaven someday. And we struggle. I struggle. And I need God's people to pray for me as a pastor. Because I go through times when I need encouragement and I need support. So today, if you're here and you need encouragement and support from your family, from your church family, we want to invite you to come forward and we'll pray with you today and pray for you. If you need healing today, you want to pray, you want prayers for healing, we'll pray over you today. But I'm going to invite you to come and we're going to stand and sing these two songs. We're going to start with Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, then we're going to ask Him to fill our cup. Let's please stand as we sing. And if God has laid something on your heart, won't you come?